you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
From Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 1st, 2024. Happy November. And I was just sharing with these friends here that in just a short month or so, we're going to be saying happy 2025. Can you believe it? I don't want to rush through Thanksgiving coming up and then Christmas and then the end of year celebrations. But wow, this year has gone fast. And I pray that today will be a defining moment in your faith journey as we study the book of Colossians together. Typically, we've been going through Nehemiah for many months, but Pastor Jason had Colossians chapter 1 on his heart, and so I give him the liberty to choose and decide what he feels the Lord is leading him to teach on. And so today we'll be looking at Colossians, starting in chapter 1, verse 15.
So we talked last week about Paul's writing to the Colossians, and the reason that he's writing to the Colossians is that there's a heresy, there's a problem. They have departed from the truth somehow. And as we mentioned last week, when Paul says at the beginning of his letter, grace and peace, that isn't simply a good introduction. He didn't go, wow, that's really a killer way to start letters. That's how I'm going to do it from now on. That's my signature, my calling card. He wants to lead with grace. Why? Because he believes what he writes in Romans, that as much as it depends on you, live at peace with others, even in the midst of problems. In fact, I would argue this, that if you live with others, there's going to be problems. If you live with others, things are going to be slightly messy. When things are always easier alone. In fact, I had a friend who was a church planner, and he told me once, he said, man, I had the best church before everybody showed up. Why? Because the only person he had to argue with, the only person he had to agree with, the only person who had to vote at the business meeting was him. And then all of a sudden, we all got together and things get a little bit more messy. And I think that when things get messy, the most important thing that we need to do is to have a high view of who God is, to understand and keep our eyes upon Jesus. In fact, I think when things get messy and things get hard and things get difficult and we depart from the truth or we find ourselves in difficult places, we need more than anything the right picture of Jesus, to know who Jesus is. Because that's what Paul's going to do here in verses 15 through 23 of Colossians chapter 1. He is going to give the Colossian church and then us by extension a beautiful picture, a truthful picture, a powerful picture of who Jesus is that will combat anything else that's being said about Jesus. Any other worldly way that Jesus has been twisted or malformed or repackaged. And I think that we need to be careful because there's all kinds of Jesuses running around out there, isn't there? All kinds of versions of Jesus that people want to tell you or share with you based on what they believe or what's happening around them or the ways that they want to use Jesus to accomplish whatever they're trying to accomplish. The point is this. Anytime you present anything other than the Jesus that God presents to us in the Bible, you are presenting a lesser hope, a lesser power, and a lesser person. We desperately need the Jesus. Reminds me of kind of a funny story. I'll share it here. Sometimes I'm not good at telling jokes necessarily, and when I hear a joke, my wife tells me I got a turkey timer before I forget it and it's gone. So I heard this joke this morning. There was this wealthy family. They lived in a pretty affluent neighborhood, and they were going to go on vacation. They were going to take this big vacation. And so they rented an RV, and they had the RV parked in front of the house, and over a number of days, they were loading their things into the RV to go on vacation. In fact, it was very apparent to everybody in the neighborhood that they were going on vacation. And on that second day that they had the RV parked in there and they were loading their things up on the RV, a guy drove by who happened to be a thief. And he looked and he goes, they're going on vacation. Live in that really nice house. I bet you that house is full of a lot of nice things that I could steal. And so the thief parked his car on the other side of the street, and he kind of watched and waited. And sure enough, the next day, that RV pulled out of their driveway and headed north, and that family went on vacation. That night, as the sun went down, the thief got out of his car, and he went around to the back of the house, and he picked the lock on the back door, and he went into the house, and it's all dark. And he hears this voice that says, "I'm right here, and Jesus sees you." And the thief kind of stopped, and he flipped on his flashlight, and he looked around, and he heard this voice again, "I'm right here, and Jesus sees you." So he kind of keyed in on where the voice was coming from, and then the voice said again, "I'm right here, and Jesus sees you," and he turned his flashlight, and there on a stand was a little parrot. And the thief kind of breathed a sigh of relief and flipped on the light, and sitting next to the parrot's cage was a Doberman Pinscher. And the parrot said, "I'm right here, and Jesus sees you. Get him, Jesus." It's good to know who Jesus is. And then it's also good to know that Jesus is right here. This is what I think, and this is the premise for what I want to say to you today is this. I think that when we're fearful, when we're frustrated, when we're in despair, we're in dire straits, we're facing the unknown, the unsure, the unsteady, maybe when we find ourselves in prideful places, wherever it is we find ourselves other than where we ought to be, we are more apt to believe fake news. That is when the deceiver or the enemy comes to sell us some other version of Jesus than the Jesus that we need in that moment. And Paul here wants to make sure that the Colossian church and us, again, by extension, know who Jesus is. And so here we get one of probably the most powerful understandings of Jesus in all the scripture. It says that he is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. The Bible tells us that no one can see God. No one can know the mind of God. The Bible tells us that no one has ever seen God. In fact, in places where people have been near God, Moses, God says, "Hide yourself in a cleft in the rock and I'll come and you'll only be able to see my back, the place that I just was. You won't be able to see me." The Bible says you can't even look upon me or else it'll be too much for you. And yet we can see who God is through Jesus because he is the image of the invisible God. God has made himself known through Jesus. If you want to know what God's like, just look at Jesus. If you want to know what God thinks, just open your Bible and read what Jesus thinks. You want to know how God wants you to act? Just look at how Jesus corrected and guided people. God isn't hiding himself from us. He has given himself to us in Jesus. And then he gave us the best-selling book ever to tell us all about it. And he says that he's the firstborn of all creation. This is interesting because in this passage, God's going to mention, and Paul's going to mention Genesis three times in here. And he's telling us that Jesus was a part of creation, that I really love it. I was actually reading a book on this earlier in the week, and it said, did you ever think of that Jesus is the only person ever who lived before he was born? That's what this is saying here. Jesus lived before he was born. He was the firstborn of all creation. Why? Because he was a part of what creation was in itself. It says, "In the beginning, God began to create the heavens and the earth." The earth was formless and void. It was chaotic. And then the Bible says, and God said, that's the living word, the logos. That's the same word that's used in John chapter 1 when it says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That the words that God spoke into creation, those words were from Jesus. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is a part of creation. And it says, reinforcing that, it says in verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Essentially saying that there isn't anything that you know of that Jesus hasn't touched, that Jesus wasn't a part of creating. Even those things that are sinful, they didn't begin sinful, did they? They began as good things. And we in our flesh and in our humanity perverted them. All things were created by him in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Even the things we don't know about, Jesus had his hands on. Somebody said to me recently when they read this verse, they said, do we treat everything like Jesus' fingerprints are all over it? Whether thrones or dominions or rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. It doesn't say through him and by him. It says through him and for him. Meaning that all the things around us we can either use to bring glory to him or to not bring glory to him. We have a decision to make.
You know, Jason, it reminds me of something you said last week, too, that he's created all people. And we have to be careful because he wants all to come to know him. Mm-hmm. And we can be the obstacles of some of these people that are, you know, living out in disobedience. But we can demonize them. But God loves them and cares for them and wants them to come to know Jesus. So we have to really value them as created in God's image.
Mm-hmm. We really do. And we really do have to look at everybody and say, that is somebody whose God's fingerprints are all over. That is somebody that God created and formed. That is somebody who God is screaming out from Scripture. They are wonderfully and beautifully made. And just because they got lost along the way doesn't mean that they can't be found. In fact, that's what Jesus came when he came and walked in the flesh, didn't he say? I came to seek and save that which was lost, to bring them back to the Father. And so I don't know why we think that that mission and that isn't a part of what we're called to do either. We're called to bring people back to the Father, which means that we have to treat them with kindness and with honor. I think sort of like how Paul began this letter to the Colossians, right? Paul didn't come raring into the room with judgment. He came bearing grace and peace and truth and said, God's going to do the rest of the work. And then he says, let me tell you what Jesus is like. Let me tell you who Jesus is. And then again, he's going to mention Genesis, right? And he is before all things. This is verse 17. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Can we just stop and pause right here at this verse that it says that he's before all things, which means he's more important than all things. He came before all things. He was a part of creating all things. And in him all things hold together, including you. That whatever you're going through, wherever you've been, and whatever's happening, he can hold you together. You have to believe that, because if you don't believe that, you're going to start to believe fake news. You're going to start to believe in some other Jesus who is a lesser Jesus than the Jesus. That wherever you are and whatever's happening, Jesus can hold you together. He can hold on to you. And you need to let him. And it says that he is the head, the source, the beginning of the body, the church. And the body in the church here, that's not a building he's talking about. He's talking about the people of God, saying that he's the source. He's the wellspring. He's the beginning of what it means to be the people of God, that he binds us together. I've been in some places where Christians get together, and it's like they forgot to invite Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, if you get together and you don't invite Jesus, you don't get to call yourself Christians, because he's what defines us in that. He's what binds us together. And there may be some people who disagree with me on that. Take it up with the Bible. He is the beginning and the firstborn of the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent. What Paul is saying right here is he's saying, listen, Jesus is the most important thing. Wherever you are, whatever's happening, whatever you're going through, you need to go to Jesus. If you don't go to Jesus, you will wind up somewhere else, and it will not bring you what you need. It won't deliver. Jesus is the only one who can comfort us, who can keep us. He's the only one who can provide for us. He's the only one who really knows the depths of our hearts and what we really truly need. There have been so many times that I've been praying and I'm praying, you know, like, Lord, I need this, or Lord, and then I hear like the spirit, like, no, that's not exactly what you need. Anybody else with me? That like what you think you need isn't really what you need? And what you really need isn't what you really want, because that might involve a little bit of you changing and a little bit of work being done.
Mm, yes.
And then it says in verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. A fullness here means, it's the Greek word pleroma. Everybody say pleroma.
Pleroma.
Pleroma, yes. Pleroma means all, everything. The fullness of God. There wasn't anything that God held back. There wasn't anything that God the Father, when he sent the Lord Jesus, that he withheld. He wasn't like, why you go, but you don't get to do that. You don't get... He didn't withhold anything. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus. All of who God is. That's why Jesus can say, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Because his fullness dwells in me. And I love that it said it was pleased to dwell in him. Which means that Jesus didn't take it. God gave it to him willingly. God said, here is all of who I am to be expressed in all of who you are.
And for some, Jason, that is a mystery really for us all, because he was fully God and yet fully man.
This is all a mystery. This is all a mystery. Why God would do all that he does, and why God would provide the Lord Jesus to us, why God would send his son, knowing all that his son would endure and all his son would go through on behalf of a people who at times would forget him and wander away and come back. It's all a mystery to me. Sometimes it's a mystery to me why God loves me with this everlasting love. When sometimes I forget to talk to him. You ever have that? You go to do something and you didn't even ask God if you should do it. Happens to me often. And through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the essence of the gospel. All that God was doing was bringing Jesus to this moment on the cross so that his blood would be shed for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we would be able to approach God in a new way because of the Lord Jesus. His righteousness given to us, and now we can come into the presence of God. And as Romans 8 says, we can do so as sons and daughters, that we can call him Abba Father, that we can have a nearness and closeness and intimacy with God that could not even have been imagined. I don't even understand it. I mean, the God who's going to set the stars in the sky and spins the planets and creates and does all the things that God does, he makes himself present to me personally, present to us personally. I can't even understand that. Sometimes my son will come to me. This happened a lot more when I was younger and my parenting game was like a D+ at best. He would come to me and he'd be like, Dad, Dad, Dad. And he always had to say things 3 times because I was never paying attention. But he would say this. He'd be like, Dad, 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 can you do this? And I would say, later, because I'm doing something important right now. And I had to realize at some point and repent of the fact that there was probably nothing more important than paying attention to that young boy at that moment, that there was no more important work. And I'm not God, so I can't balance it, but God in his infinite, unimaginable way bends down in the midst of putting the stars in the sky and listens to me as I talk to him and doesn't ever say, later, I've got more important work to do. And then he says this in verse 21, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He said, listen, before the cross, when you were just living to your own ways, I was already thinking about sending Jesus. He has now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless. Jesus endured everything that he endured, all the whipping and the beating and the scourging and being nailed to a cross, all of that, so that he could present us holy and blameless, above reproach before him. It's as if he goes into the throne room and he says, here's Elmer, here's Gail, here's Mark, here's your beloved children. I've done exactly what I said I would do, seek and save the lost and bring them home. And then Paul says, if indeed you can continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister, he's just saying to them, please stop believing fake news. Because every bit of fake news you believe takes your eyes off of Jesus. And what you need more than anything is Jesus.
Amen.
And so I don't know who needed today to read this chapter, this part of this chapter in Colossians, who in the midst of their frustration or fear, despair, dire, whatever you're going through, unsure, unsteady, needs to be reminded of who your Savior is. He's the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that God sent, the Jesus who died for your salvation. And he's the same Jesus who rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father and who is returning one day. And that's the Jesus we desperately need. Not some other Jesus. We need the Jesus.
You know, Jason, I'm going to ask you to close out our time in prayer, but I did write out the hope of the gospel. And I'm sure there's some listeners today that maybe don't understand the hope of the gospel or what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, to seek him out as Lord and Savior. And maybe you could lead out in a prayer for somebody that's maybe confused or doesn't understand God's love for them, or the senior saint that just wants to renew that relationship with him.
I'm going to do two things for you, Mark. First of all, I'm going to say thank you, and then I'm going to ask Tad if he'll pray that, because I am always so blessed when Tad prays for us and we come together as a group. So, Tad, would you pray for us?
Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your Son down here to reveal yourself to us. Father, some of us have walked with the Lord for a while, and we have gotten soft and complacent, and we have forgotten our first love. And this message was sent to reclaim people who knew you but got distracted. And there is so much distraction around us now, Lord. We pray that you will send your message again with strength, that you will reconvict us, reconfirm us in the faith that we once held so valuable. Strengthen us and draw us back to you, Lord. And if anyone out there hears this and is in the same position, help them to know that you are always welcoming us back, no matter what we've done, no matter how far we've gone, that you're always there. Bless us and keep us and draw us together and save us into your kingdom soon, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.